Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, how did Mace Buggen use his size to his advantage? Gabrielle Kaplan Mayer is a freelance writer and educator based in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We recently spoke with her about her work as director of the Whole Community Inclusion Program of Jewish Learning Venture, where she finds ways to help make Jewish organizations welcoming and inclusive for people with disabilities and their families. This week, she's speaking with us about her great-uncle, Mace Buggen. An achondroplastic dwarf, Mace overcame his disability to have a successful career in business and also a very unusual hobby. Gabby has written about Mace's life in her book, The Little Gatecrasher.
Thank you very much for speaking with us. Tell us first about Mace Buggen. Who was he?
Sure. So Mace happened to be my great uncle. He was born in 1915. He was a first-generation Jewish American, very successful businessman in his community in the Lehigh Valley area of Pennsylvania. And he happened to be a dwarf. He was 43 inches tall. And at the time Mace lived, there were, you know, certainly societal attitudes that were derogatory towards people with differences. And Mace also had some physical mobility challenges, and he never let that stop him. And he became, as I said, a successful businessman who had a very unique hobby of taking photos with celebrities.
Yeah, let's talk about this hobby first. How did it come about? I mean, how did he, first of all, how do you think he became interested in doing this? And how did he gain access to all those celebrities? Because in the book, there must be, I don't know, hundreds of pictures as well as names.
Right. And that's one of the motivations that I had for writing the book, as well as telling his story. I wanted to share these pictures because they're truly amazing. All, you know, the sports people, the singers, the movie stars from sort of the mid-1930s to mid-1970s. So Mace really captures an era of American pop culture.
And politicians.
I should mention, too, absolutely, politicians as well. So he, you know, he really wanted to distinguish himself, and he couldn't, as he says in one of his memories, he wasn't able to be an athlete because in those days there were no accommodations. There were no sports teams that he could be on in high school or in the community. So his first experience that I detail in the book is when he went to Chicago on a bus to see the boxer Joe Louis in his first professional fight. And he jumped into the ring and he kissed Joe Louis on the gloves before the game. And that moment was captured on the RKO newsreel, which was how news was shared in those days in the 1930s. And Mace became a celebrity in his town. And people all over the world saw him. And he loved that feeling of fame. And so whenever he would go to a sporting event or cultural event or had the chance to meet, as you said, a politician, he would make his way however he could. He didn't take no for an answer. He went backstage, he went past guards, and he carried a camera with him and made sure that he got his photo.
Well, he must have had somebody else take the pictures. I mean, in those days, they didn't have selfies.
Yeah, he would hand the camera to whoever was there. So if it was a stagehand, if it was a journalist waiting in line to get their picture, he would thrust the camera at them and have them snap the photo.
Tell us about his other activities, his professional activities.
Sure. So Mace, again, he was a really, really smart person. And he looked around at how he could become a successful business person. My great grandparents owned a small grocery store, a corner grocery store, which many Russian Jewish immigrants did in those days. And when Mace finished high school, first he took over the bookkeeping and the accounting at the store and helped it make a profit for the first time. And then he looked around and saw that there were old homes that had, you know, sort of fallen apart in repair in the area. And so he became a real estate investor before it was really the custom to buy homes and fix them up and flip them, as many people do today. So this was the era of soldiers returning home from World War II, and they were looking for homes for a family. So Mace started with one and then kept adding homes and, you know, being able to fix them up at a pretty inexpensive rate and then sell them and rent them. And that's how he earned a living.
Something that I thought was very interesting is that he used his size to his advantage. Could you tell us a little bit about how he did that?
Absolutely. So I think that, you know, faced with the challenge of living in a world where people look down on you for your size or have your low expectations of people for your size, Mace just said, I'm going to turn this and use it to an advantage. So certainly he used it when he would go to sporting events. The book is called The Little Gate Crasher, because he'd often say he would walk right through the legs of the people taking the tickets and go right in and get his seat. And in business, you know, I think people, you know, often had these prejudices and low expectations. And he always sort of had the upper hand and was thinking about deals that he could make. And I think that he also, because of his size, he had an extra strong spirit. He wasn't going to let anything stop him. And I think that propelled him in terms of both his business, his hobby, and also just being a great person in the community and always helping others.
You know, I think that a lot of people who in some way or another are disabled either give up, get depressed, go to bed for the rest of their life, or they overcome it with such a strength that you can't stop them.
That is so well stated. I think that's exactly how it was with Mace. And he was not going to do that first option. He was really going to say that he was grateful. And he did say that he was grateful every day for his family, for what he had. And so he faced life with what he could do and what he could give to others. And I think because of his difference, he was very sensitive to other people who were struggling. And I write about how my great grandparents were very dedicated to collecting items, clothing, and other things for people who were settling in Israel in the early days of the country. And Mace would drive all over and collect the items and the packages. And in his spare time, besides his crazy hobby of catching the celebrities, he really used his time to do good for others.
He did different kinds of charity work, didn't he?
Yes. I mean, he worked with youth at his synagogue. You know, he was dedicated to helping the kids. He would go visit people in the hospital every Saturday afternoon. He had a routine. He went to synagogue. He had lunch at his cousin's house. He went home and took a nap. And then he would go visit any Jewish members of the community who were in the hospital or in the nursing home. He really always thought about others who were not, you know, not doing well.
Something that I thought was very interesting is that in the introduction to the book, Mace is compared with Peter Dinklage, the actor who's also an achondroplastic dwarf. Mm-hmm. And both seem to have in common that they came from families that offered unconditional love and support. How do you think this influenced Mace's career, hobby, life choices, everything? I think that's mentioned several times in the book.
You know? I think it was the foundation. I think that if parents believe 100% in a child, that even if the society around you has doubts or doesn't have all the supports in place, I think the parents really can make the difference. And as I was researching the family in more depth to write the book, I was really moved every time I found these stories about my great-grandparents and how they they really, you know, in those days, and if you can imagine giving birth to a child in 1915 and being an immigrant to a new country, there weren't supports around you. You know, these were the days before there were any organizations or groups supporting little people or people with any other kinds of disability. There wasn't really any kind of formal support. And my great grandparents just, you know, I think of their instinct, knew that they had to encourage Mace to do his best at school. They expected him to help out in the store like the other children. So they had little stools and different things so he could work the cash register in the different parts of the store. And so I think that they really were the foundation that led to his success.
And his older sister, who was your grandmother, right?
Right. Yes. My grandmother was such a big, I mean, all the siblings were such a big supporter of Mace. But I think the thing that my grandmother did that was so unique was that after her parents died and Mace was living on his own, she wanted to create him an apartment that would be fully accessible for him. And there was nothing like that of its kind that they researched, they looked, and they couldn't find any, like, you know, floor plans or anything like that. So they hired architects, and the architect that they hired was able to create what a bathroom would be like with everything built to scale, the toilet and the shower and the sink, a kitchen built to scale, bed built to scale, desk. And so his apartment had everything accessible to him, which was terrific for him. And as I write about, when my sister and I were young kids, it was so special for us because when we would go visit our grandmother and we were about the size of Mace, it was so much fun to be able to go in and play in his apartment. It felt like a dollhouse to us.
That was really, really, really ahead of its time, too.
It really was. And as I'm meeting people, you know, through promoting the book and doing book talks, I'm discovering that many people are still surprised by it. And, you know, it's something that families still struggle with, figuring out how to create accommodations in their home when they have a little person in the family.
In one picture caption, you say that Mace enjoyed interviewing family members and friends and recording these interviews. Did he do anything with those interviews, and did you use any of them in preparing the book, or are they lost?
They're not lost. We actually have a number of recordings. And in fact, I was on a public radio station interview, and they were able to take some of his audio tapes and convert them. So it's pretty cool. In his time, I don't think he did anything with the tapes that he made. It was kind of like he sort of thought of himself as the host of a talk show. And he loved to interview anyone who was a celebrity, as if he was a talk show host. But even just the people in his family and community, he was extremely extroverted. And he loved conversation. He loved learning through conversation. And so, you know, if this was today, he would be so with it with all the technology. You know, I could see him having a podcast and a show and all kinds of things. But in those days, he used the technology that he could, even if he was a little ahead of its time for actually doing anything with it.
Something else that occurred to me as I was reading the book is that this is kind of on a more personal level, I was wondering why you wrote the book. You and I did another program recently on the work that you do at Jewish Learning Venture, where you're director of whole community inclusion, which deals with disability inclusion. So I was wondering if Mace influenced your choice of career, or if your work might have influenced your interest in delving into Mace's life and writing the book.
Yes, I think the second. I think that the work that I'm doing right now in disability awareness education in the Jewish community made me look at Mace's story and realize what a significant story it was, and that I wanted to share it with the world. One, in terms of what you and I were just talking about the role of the family in being full of unconditional love and support for people when a child is born in the family with disabilities. and for the community to see what value people have despite any differences or despite any challenges. And, you know, Mace lived in a time where it was before the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed, and so there weren't parking spaces for him. He would write about, you know, how he often had to park up on the grass to get into sporting events or whatever. So our world has changed for the better in many ways. And I think that people still often underestimate what people with physical or cognitive disabilities can contribute to the community. And I also felt that just Mace's, as we talked about Mace's spirit, and, you know, just what a large sense of energy he had was also an important story to tell right now.
Is there anything else you would like to tell us that we might have left out?
I think the only other thing I would share is that I've created a book guide that is available so communities can get, you know, get a few friends together or do a program at a synagogue or organization and read the book, and you got great discussion questions. I'll also Skype in to any book group and be happy to lead a conversation about the book.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSephirod.com. See you next week.